Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is closed. Roughly 750,000 federal workers expected to be furloughed without pay, some potentially fired by the Trump administration. Some things are still open, says ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
National parks are open for now, but could face staff shortages. The Smithsonian will be open until at least October 6th. And in 1 week, that critical WIC program, which gives nutrition assistance to 7 million low-income women and their children, is set to run out of funding.
President Trump's immigration crackdown and some public health work at the FDA and the Department of Agriculture will continue during the shutdown. Rescuers are using backhoes and sniffer dogs to try to find more survivors in the central Philippines following an earthquake that has left at least 69 people dead. President Trump proposing using American cities as training grounds for U.S. troops. That part of the new Trump administration culture for the military laid out before hundreds of generals this week. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are trending down in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The average price for a gallon of gasoline in Wisconsin is down over 6 cents from last week to $2.82 a gallon. Nationally, prices have fallen 5.8 cents to $3.08 a gallon. Who is a petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy, says seasonal factors such as switching to winter blends and falling demand are the primary causes for the decrease.
The city of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its city administrator working group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of city administrator to the city of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on September 30th, October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a city administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the mayor's office. The race for Wisconsin's governor continues to take shape as one new candidate is announced and another drops out. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
She now joins a crowded field running for governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
After further review, hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff reviewing the tape of Sunday night's game in Dallas, in which Green Bay kicked a field goal with 1 second left, ending in a tie. Matt LaFleur admits that was poor clock management.
Just looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be no time left. It's a very humbling experience to go through that. It's unacceptable, quite honestly. And there's nothing we can do about it now other than we better learn from it, everybody.
The Packers have the week off before hosting the Bengals Sunday, October 12th. NBA, Bobby Portis says, after meeting with Bucks GM John Horst and coach Doc Rivers, he decided to stay in Milwaukee.
Being able to have that open dialogue, open communication with John, open communication with Doc, it's been a great experience for me being here in Milwaukee. Definitely would have been weird going to another franchise, and so I'm happy I'm here.
That's Bucks forward Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, civic media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee County Festival. Then civic media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning. It's the first day of October 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison at Studio A2 at Civic Media Headquarters at the top of State Street, just one block away from the state capitol. Coming up, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, coming up in just a bit. And then there's some big news coming up on this program 90 minutes from now. So you're going to want to stick around till 8:35, or if you have to step away, come on back, or sign up and get this show as a podcast through Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's all about the 7th Congressional District up north. The 7th Congressional District takes up, like, at least the northern third of the state. Tom Tiffany has represented it for the past couple of years. He's now running for governor. So it is an open seat, and we'll be talking with somebody who's going to shed some light on who the next congressional representative could be up north in the 7th District in just a little bit. Brittany Merlot is off, which is a shame, because we would finally get to introduce Merlot to Bordeaux. That, of course, would be Ellie Bordeaux, wow, the new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you here. We want to learn more about you and more about the newsletter. So having got that hello in there, just stand by for a sec, because I realized I got to pass on the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could be winning cash and jewelry as part of a daily prize, and then every entry has you ready to go for the grand prize, which is two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota playing a little football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the prize package, more than $1,500. So get on that Civic Media app and get set to text us this keyword before 8 a.m. And then there will be other words throughout the course of the day, other chances to enter, starting with Matt and Air on Air during the 9 a.m. hour. But for the 7 a.m. hour, the text to win keyword is cheer. That's C-H-E-E-R. Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Text that before 8 o'clock for your chance to win the daily prize and be in the running for that grand prize as well. Cheer before the end of the hour, C-H-E-E-R. All right, we've got the housekeeping out of the way. So in talking with Ellie about the newsletter, I guess we'll first start with a little bit about yourself. Coming first off from, you're an Oconomowoc girl, first and foremost.
Yes, I am. I'm born and raised in Oconomowoc. I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life, which I love. I love Wisconsin, so I'm not complaining about that. I went to UW-Madison. I graduated there in 2024 with degrees in journalism and Spanish. While I was at UW-Madison, I was a writer and editor for the Daily Cardinal there, which is the independent student newspaper on campus. And now I'm here. So All good things.
Yeah, all good things. Absolutely. So with the Daily Cardinal, did you have like a particular beat or interest?
Yeah, so I kind of did a little bit of everything. I started out my sophomore year and I went into it completely blind. I had no idea what it meant to be a journalist. I did not know how to write a story. And I remember writing my first story and it just kind of got torn to shreds by my editor, which is fine. It was a learning moment, you know. But my sophomore year, I started as just a staff editor. And then I was the associate news desk editor. So I was in charge of breaking news. So I was in charge of pitching stories to all my writers. If there was breaking news on campus or around Madison, I was in charge of either going and covering it or finding someone to go cover it. And then I did a whole like 180. And my senior year, I was the features desk editor. So I was in charge of longer form, more investigative stories. So I have kind of gotten a whole overview of journalism while I was at the Daily Cardinal, which was a great experience. I kind of got a little taste of everything, so it was great.
All right. And then you mentioned having the not just the journalism education, but the Spanish as well. Is that something you've been putting to use?
Not as much as I would like to necessarily. Sometimes it's hard to find places to practice it, but I definitely try and use it when I can. I stay on top of my Duolingo, to get some practice where I can.
I just want to know if Sophia Minert has any reason to think that her job is in jeopardy for
Oh.
all of the Spanish language interviews that she does after Brewers games for FanDuel. And by the way, she is, I mean,
She rocks.
she's won an Emmy
Yeah,
Award.
she's fantastic.
She's a workhorse and does those interviews. And so I can imagine that might be some practice for you if we can get you down to the Brewer dugout and talk to some of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
You've been to your share of sporting events already as you've shared your story in some of your first editions of our newsletter, talking about things that you've done with your dad and some of your travels around the state. What are some of the favorite memories you've been sharing already?
You know, I so I've only ever gone to two Packer games in my life. You know, my first one was last year or last season for my birthday. Me, my dad, and my brother went, which was super fun. And then me and my boyfriend actually went 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now for the Whiteout game, and that was really cool. So we kind of just went on like a last minute, like, why not? Let's go. So we ended up going. That was super fun. I've been to a ton of Badger games in my time. I started going to those when I was really little, and that's when I was like, oh, I really want to go to school here, you know? And Brewer games too. I've been to my fair share of those. Packer games are a little bit more slim, but
How much jumping have you officially done with the jump around? Could you count the number of times you've jumped?
I'm trying to think the amount. I don't know how many times I've jumped, but I've definitely
It's
got
a lot.
burned some calories there for sure.
Have you actually
Yes.
jumped, or have you just like kind of bounced?
Yeah, do
Is
you just
more. Oh, I
bounce on the
jumped.
balls of your
You've jumped.
feet?
Oh, wow.
No,
Okay.
you actually jump.
You
Okay.
gotta jump because I would always get upset when people are just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm like, that's not jumping. You're not jumping around. Come on, you
That's
know?
like me when that's like me with the wave. You know, the wave used to be this big new thing, and now if you're with a wave, I kind of lift my hands up and hey. Ellie
Yeah,
would
that's
yell
fair.
at us for that. Exactly. We're
I would.
talking to Ellie Bordeaux, the new newsletter editor with us here at Up North News. And as we get into the things that you've been working on, I mean, you right away started with a special edition last week all about fall in Wisconsin. And, you know, needless to say, as you know from our segments with Sherita Booker on Thursdays, there's no shortage of stuff that you can do. There's no reason to be homebound in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is plenty to do. All and our fall guide covers Oktoberfest all around the state. We've got fall festivals. We've got some like spooky, scary spots as Halloween kind of approaches. So we have no shortage of things for you to do. I love hearing responses from all the readers of, hey, this gave me something to do this weekend. Like, I'm gonna go check out this fall festival, or I'm gonna go to this Oktoberfest and try this pumpkin beer, you know? So there's definitely no shortage of things to do, and our fall guide definitely shows that. So.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the premise of Up North News, folks go, well, you guys just cover a lot of political news. Well, we do because we think that that is stuff that people need to know about. But by and large, we're just an outlet that celebrates Wisconsin and wants people to get in the car and get all around, get to some new event, some new festival, some new place that you haven't, you know, hiked before or something like that. I know it was a series of newsletter stories that got me thinking that I've got to go see more of these waterfalls around Wisconsin. And so last year, I know we went to go see a couple of those. So as you have started looking at things that may get into the newsletter, have you already started your own little bucket list of things that, like, I haven't gone there yet and I want to get to that?
Definitely. That's something that selfishly has been really nice for me, to be able to look into all these things. And now I'm like, oh, I have something to do this weekend. You know, if I have no plans, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check out this Oktoberfest, or, oh, I'm going to go check out the ginormous pumpkin fest, you know, those kinds of things. So it definitely has helped me find things to do throughout the coming weeks, you know?
Well, and I know that Selena Heller was at the ginormous pumpkin fest in Altoona last weekend and would be more than happy to take you around and, you know, have you see some of the sights over here in the western part of the state. And I was encouraged to note that as you've been making your drives, you have not just like you and Parker, you kids and your rock and roll music, you have shown a willingness to listen to some of the classic stuff, which is a nice way of saying old guy radio. But you've been to some concerts and started up a whole new playlist that kind of defies your generational boundary.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess you could say that. I grew up on that kind of music. My mom is super into that kind of music. My dad is too. My parents, their favorite band is AC/DC. Our dog is named after Angus Young. His name is Angus. So all that kind of stuff. I was definitely born on those and raised on those, that type of music. So it just kind of is what I love, you know? And going to those concerts was so fun. Yeah, it's a great time.
I am sitting here just blown away. You know, yes, but, you know, again, my generation's parents, you know, they were listening to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I didn't realize we've come to the generation now where they go, oh yeah, my mom and dad, they listen to AC/DC all the time. Was not expecting to hear that. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
And makes me feel super old at the same time, but you know, that's okay. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we saw you go through the interview process and heard all about some of your ideas and your enthusiasm. So I hope you're looking forward to things so far. Robin Tigerton says, hi, Ellie. You do an excellent job on the newsletter. He also writes, this weekend is Caroline Colorama. It's one of the, it also says one of the largest horse trail rides around. So yeah, we have no shortage of people that want to provide some, you know, insight for giving you ideas for the newsletter. Do you want to let people know how they can reach you?
Yeah. So you can reach me via email, ellie@couriernewsroom.com. Or if you just hit reply to the newsletter, if you sign up on our website, if you just hit reply, I'll get that. I'll see it. I'll respond to you, you know, which is super great. So yeah, it's great to hear responses. I've had so many people reply with, again, things to do in Wisconsin or things that I maybe missed or things that they want to hear more about. And I love hearing those things. So it's a step-by-step process. You know, I'm still trying to kind of get into the swing of things. I'm still pretty new, but hopefully with time, it'll get better and better and you'll see more of what you want to hear, you know?
Oh yeah. It'll definitely click in. So, Ellie is Ellie. That's Ellie at couriernewsroom.com. Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. So, this has been a lot of fun. I really have appreciated, you stepping into this role and starting to put, some things in there already, not just the feature stories, but obviously we also drop in a little bit from the day's news headlines. For example, we do have a story in today's edition about basically the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the Trump Republican mega bill. And it's the reason why Planned Parenthood is not performing abortion services currently in Wisconsin while that law is being challenged. So you're always going to get up to date on some of the big news stories in the area, but you're also going to get those little pieces like the story today about some special moments from the Brewers season to kind of get you ready for the playoffs. So a well-rounded publication you're putting together there.
Definitely. Yeah. We try and do a little bit of both. You know, I think it's important to have some of the hard news in there of, hey, this is what's going on around you, you know, got to keep up to date, but also we want to keep things positive. We want to keep things light. What are some fun things going on throughout the state, you know, that kind of stuff. So we try and keep it a good mix. So.
Oh, yes, you do. All right. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you. All right. So there you go. To learn more and to get signed up for what Ellie's putting together, you can stay up to date by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. From the heart of America's up north, here live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
If you missed it yesterday, the Cubs beat the Padres in Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series. If the Cubs win again this afternoon, they will be the Brewers' opponent in the National League Division Series starting Saturday in Milwaukee. If the San Diego Padres win this afternoon, it will force a third and decisive game tomorrow afternoon to see who shows up at American Family Field coming up this weekend. We'll keep you up to date here, of course. We've also got our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Use that Civic Media app and send us the keyword cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance to win a daily prize and also be in the running for that grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. Great indoor seats in Green Bay. Well, now we can say next month because the game's going to be in November. So again, cheer before 8 a.m. There is a lot to respect about America's military, the men and women who serve in uniform and who make untold sacrifices, and some make the ultimate sacrifice. And their leaders are people with tremendous amounts of experience. They have earned our respect. They have earned our deference. And what they have not earned, what they do not deserve, is the thing that happened to them yesterday because of a talking head from Fox News who got a Secretary of Defense, who gathered senior military officers from around the world, summoned them all into one room in Quantico, Virginia, near the nation's capital, to lecture them on how he, and then a lecture from President Donald Trump on how he expects the military to be ultimately loyal to them, including, if directed, going into the streets of American cities and causing violence against fellow Americans over some alleged crackdown on crime, when we all know that's not what this is. It is quite literally about the militarization of America, and it should concern you between now and the midterm elections next year, when American voters have a chance to say no to all of the nonsense they've seen of the past year. But you had a president who was telling people that, you know, the streets of America's cities were basically a training ground for other work. And then you had Pete Hegseth talking about, you know, grooming guidelines and being in shape, which is a little awkward when you consider the physique of the commander in chief. And to trash the idea that there are certain rules of engagement. Keep in mind that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump have honored people who have committed war crimes. Again, the honor and respect we show to our military is not limitless. It has its boundaries. That includes certain standards of conduct, even in war. But not to people like Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, who have no honor and who do not have a scintilla of the service and education of much of America's senior military leadership. So the thing that I appreciated the most about all of those people summoned from all over the world at tremendous taxpayer expense, the thing I admire most is that they kept a straight face. I mean, there was, it could have gone in all kinds of other directions. It could have become, say, a campaign rally. You know that Trump and Hegseth were trying. They were trying to bait the crowd with certain remarks and hoping, you know, to show a military that would go to the mats for Trump and for Hegseth and for J.D. Vance and for the Republicans in Congress who have abdicated their responsibilities of oversight. But that didn't happen. The other thing that didn't happen was any senior military leaders essentially rising up in opposition. I know there were people that were saying, wow, this could be the makings of like some kind of a military coup if enough people, you know, wanted it to happen. No, that's not what we want to happen either. And you know that Trump and Hegseth were just baiting somebody in that room so that they could make an example out of them and fire them on the spot to show how tough they are and that this is their military, not America's military. And nobody took the bait on that either. They all came, they all gathered in one place, which, by the way, in and of itself, if you had a Congress with actual oversight, would have something to say about that. You gathered all of America's senior military and political leadership in one room, and you advertised it ahead of time. Now, I know it's not like we don't have missile defenses and things like that, but simply putting that many people in one area that you could put a bullseye on is amazingly reckless. And yet Trump and Hegseth did it anyway. And Donald Trump was rambling in a way that, again, if you were to watch it, I would not be surprised if you too were saying to your TV, where's the coverage of this? Joe Biden mispronounces one word and the entire press corps is demanding resignation. And what we're getting in now is so much worse in terms of its rambling, in terms of the lies that are inside of those words, in terms of the politicization of America's military that he is attempting. And yet we treat it as just another day. Oh, that's just what, you know, Donald Trump does. Well, now he's done it. All the senior military leadership goes back. And frankly, not much is going to change. I mean, the president will again deploy troops into some cities. He'll do it for symbolic reasons more than accomplishing anything other than a pretend show of strength. The real concern will be, again, as we get closer to our midterm elections and whether the president, who again lied yesterday about the 2020 elections, will make something up about the 2026 elections, because he tried a coup. He tried to overturn the will of the voters in 2020. There's nothing that indicates he will not try something funny again next year. And I believe our American military leaders stand at the ready to not be used for that kind of a tool. We'll be back after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
Green Career Week is just around the corner, and organizers hope it plants the seeds for a new generation of horticulture professionals. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you from the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about this nationwide event after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Jasmine Alboron is the executive director of Seed Your Future, the group behind the nationwide Green Career Week, running October 6th through the 10th. The goal? To spark student interest in the multi-billion dollar world of horticulture. She tells us how you can get involved.
We are encouraging teachers, parents, educators, anyone that works with students to get them connected to a local horticulture business. So independent garden center, a florist, a breeder, a nursery, greenhouse, you name it. There are businesses right in the middle of urban settings, rural settings. They're everywhere. We just don't know, right? So Seed Your Future, if you reach out to us, we can help you get connected to a business that's in your area. You can set up field trips, go to these businesses and get to know them as employers. What are the different roles that they have and offer for students, for college students?
She says horticulture is a field that stretches from turf management to landscape design, even graphic design. Jasmine Alboron, along with us, who says Green Career Week is a chance for students of all backgrounds to connect with a career path that they may not have considered. More agribusiness news coming your way next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The road to Madison has meant bringing home first place honors for a few individuals. Wisconsin has been competitive this week, taking home second place in the 103rd National 4-H Dairy Cattle Judging Contest. UW-Madison finished in the top five in the 104th National Intercollegiate Dairy Cattle Judging Contest at World Dairy Expo. Congratulations again to the Wisconsin 4-H Dairy Judging Team and the UW-Madison Dairy Cattle Judging Team. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Matt and Air on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now.
But, what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gangnam Style?
Oh, those are terrible
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, live from the lake here in Chippewa Falls. It is 7:35, which means that you have less than 25 minutes to text us the word cheer in the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. Use that Civic Media app, find the text button, and text the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance at a daily prize of $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, see green and gold. And also, every entry puts you in the running for that grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game with some great indoor seats in Green Bay for a game next month. Again, cheer, and then you'll have another chance to win starting at 9 a.m. for Matinair on Air. I mentioned Green Bay and Minnesota playing football as part of this. There's also going to be some Wisconsin Badger football to talk about for later this week. The Badgers were off last weekend. This weekend, they are taking on Michigan. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Also wanted to let you know through Civic Media, you know, because we talked to Ellie Bordeaux just a bit ago about Up North News and its newsletters and your updates there. But Civic Media also has ways that you can get local news with a statewide reach. All you got to do is go to civicmedia.us and then click on one of the many stations that are there, your local station preferably. And up near the top of each station's homepage, you'll see a daily news roundup, and you can listen to it right there. Folks from the Civic Media news team record those daily. You can also sign up for email versions of their daily news updates while you're there. Again, that's at civicmedia.us to go learn more. All right, time for a little homeroom action here, where we talk about public education on Wednesday mornings around this time and some of the opportunities, some of the threats that are out there as well. You'll recall that last week we visited with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. And one of the things that we touched on briefly was the notion of all of these federal budget cuts coming from the Trump administration for the crazy idea that anything associated with what is known as DEI must be bad and has to be cut. Now, never mind that from a race-based standpoint, that's racist on its face. And of course, they've got the cojones to claim that diversity, equity, and inclusion is itself racist because, you know, white people are such victims. But it's the way that they have stretched the definition of DEI that is, I mean, it would be funny if it weren't so harmful. And the one we talked about last week that is still a concern out there deals with the 100 or so Wisconsin families that could soon be losing access to services that aid deaf-blind students. And that's because of cuts by the U.S. Department of Education. So the DPI, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, has said there will not be federal grant funding available for the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project. The current Trump administration says that they're reevaluating everything, and that according to an administration spokesperson, grants like these to deafblind students, okay, many of these grants, according to a statement, use overt race preferences or perpetuate divisive concepts and stereotypes, which no student should be exposed to. The non-continued grant funds are not being cut. They are being reinvested immediately into high-quality programs that better serve special needs students. Well, never mind the last part of that, which is just blatantly wrong and false. But this whole notion of that money that goes to deaf-blind education, according to this statement, perpetuates divisive concepts and stereotypes. Being deaf and or blind is not a stereotype. it's not a divisive concept. All right. It's a need that helps people learn and get access to assistive technology and transition services. There's nothing luxurious about this, about the programs that are provided through the Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And of course, the Department of Public Instruction is, you know, trying to stay on top of the Trump administration and make the case that these grants should be restored. But at the moment, in the name of being anti-woke, these families are scrambling. Imagine if that's your child, and how do they get an education otherwise? Well, of course, that's only one example. From Cleo Krejci in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from yesterday, citing concerns over diversity, equity, and inclusion, the U.S. Department of Education has eliminated about $8 million in grant funding earmarked for special education teacher programming in Wisconsin K-12 schools. So apparently, training special education teachers is divisive or somehow racist. The Department of Education reviewed all grants like this and said that, you know, there were problematic words in some of these grant applications. For example, that special education coaches would be trained with an equity mindset. There apparently was also language in another grant application that said that that there will be a discussion of the impact of white supremacy and the history of whiteness on systems and work to disrupt and dismantle its effects and facilitate action planning to build a more equitable system of education in its place. The Trump administration says that doing that is itself discriminatory, and the Trump administration has argued that the concept of systemic racism does not exist. Okay, let's go back on this. Again, the problem there, they saw that there was a mention there about white supremacy, the history of whiteness on systems. Just try and tell me that in the past, there weren't examples where two children needed special education services. One was white, one was not. And there were only enough resources to take care of one of the students. Which one do you think got it? And if you go, oh, it must have been the, you know, the non-white kid, you're not paying attention. Because for generations in this country, it was overt racism that prevented everybody's tax dollars from going to places where they are needed most. When people say, well, I don't believe in systemic racism, I don't believe in institutional racism, because you're calling me racist. Nobody's calling a person racist. But you look at education, you look at healthcare, you look at our judicial system, and you look at the difference in outcomes still to this day. It's not necessarily that there are overt racists in there, but there are things in the system that continue to work against people who are not white. And as you look into these systems and say, okay, how can we make things different? How can we make sure that that white child in need of special education and that black child in need of special education and that Hispanic child in need of special education all have access to good and well-trained teachers? That apparently looking into that and how to make things more fair to all three of those little angels is somehow divisive and racist. It's not. It's these cuts themselves that are. And I've never had a problem saying that. This is a guy who said he was going to get rid of, you know, the illegal terrorists on the streets and instead is rounding up all kinds of hardworking people for the crime of wanting to come to this country and build a better life the way that many of our great grandparents did. And rather than fix the system so that they're not undocumented, You choose to blow up fixing the system. You make a conscious choice to avoid fixing the system, and you make a conscious choice to just round up brown people. Don't be surprised when you get called out on that, because it is exactly what it looks like. You're not making America safer. You're not making America great again. You're making things worse. You're making things more expensive. You're exacerbating the labor shortage. And now you're not even helping students who are deaf and blind or in need of special education services because of your rage about taking out your frustrations on people who aren't white because you feel some sort of white victimness, which is just one of the oldest, most frustrating things out there in America today. My goodness, it just gets to me. The people who think that they are somehow at a disadvantage because of this day and age, when we actually try to treat people more fairly, whatever their background. But that's what we have. And that's why our schools right now are fighting so hard to get grants restored that we're making things better. But apparently now, if you're deaf, blind, or want to be a special education teacher, too bad. You don't get that. There's a new candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court to tell you about. The announcement came out early this morning. I will quote from Mary Spacuzza's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar is getting into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. She will be the conservative candidate in the race rather than Justice Rebecca Bradley, who announced recently that she is not going to seek re-election. So it's quite likely that Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar will face Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state lawmaker who is already in the race for state Supreme Court justice. So at the moment, if no other candidates get in, it will be a classic progressive versus conservative campaign, the way that most of the recent state Supreme Court races have been. And keep in mind, progressives have won 4 out of the last 5 state Supreme Court races. And progressives have won something like 15 out of the last 18 statewide elections. Because Wisconsin is much more of a 50-50 state, or if anything, lean progressive, than it is a conservative state. It has large majorities of Republicans in the legislature and the Congress only because they rigged the maps more than a decade ago. But this appeals court judge, Maria Lazar, is running now. She is a former assistant state attorney general under Scott Walker, who defended the state in lawsuits against Act 10. In a statement, she said, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court." Those are her words. To stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. It is quite clear that from her past record and her campaign donors that she, in winning a seat for the Court of Appeals, had support from all manner of conservative and Republican groups, including Wisconsin Right to Life and Pro-Life Wisconsin, which argue for total abortion bans with no exceptions for rape and incest frequently. This is a state Supreme Court that, when it was in conservative hands, was against women's reproductive health rights. It was for gerrymandering the maps. It was for power grabs that were done by Republican legislators against Tony Evers and Josh Call, the attorney general. And most chilling of all, that there were conservative justices who wanted to go along with Donald Trump's efforts to potentially overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Maria Lazar is of that same mold, will have big-time right-wing donors in her race for state Supreme Court against Chris Taylor. Again, that race is in April of next year. If one more candidate gets in, if there are 3 or more candidates, there will be a primary, a nonpartisan primary in February. But regardless, a general election for a state Supreme Court race come April. Coming up in our next hour, some big news about the 7th Congressional District and who wants to run for it next year. Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 30th, New Hampshire implemented new hurdles for registering to vote by mail and requesting an absentee ballot. The regulations hit students, elders, and the disabled the hardest, and a pending suit claims many could be disenfranchised. New Hampshire already has some of the strictest absentee voting rules in the country, accepting only a few excuses to vote absentee. The state had over 99,000 absentee voters in 2024. With the added requirements of SB 287 and 218, citizens registering to vote by mail must now submit copies of citizenship documents, age, and residency. The voter registration application must also be signed by a witness before submission. The Brennan Center recently found that 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to such documents. Notably, only one non-citizen has ever been convicted for voting illegally in New Hampshire. Then, after the voter registration is accepted, New Hampshire requires an absentee ballot application be submitted for each election, which now must include a copy of the voter's state or federally issued photo identification, even if you've provided those documents previously or provide a notarized signature. A lawsuit filed August 19th argues such restrictions make it difficult for students, elders, the disabled, and those without access or means to copy the documents to vote. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, you got yourself about 6 minutes here to send us the word cheer using that Civic Media app. Text us the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance to win a daily prize and a grand prize in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And in fact, let's, I know we do this every so often. We just want to give a shout out to some of the people that have been jumping in here. There's Meredith and Madison, Jeff and Caledonia just jumped in. Let's see. We've also got Chris in Eau Claire, Harry in Weston, and on it goes. I love seeing this growing list of people that want to be part of our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. So thank you again. Cheer. And then your chance to send in another word coming up after 9 a.m. with Jane and Greg. Let's bring in Jimmy Cuska now to talk to us a bit about some of the sports that he's covered as Civic Media Sports Director and the sports that he's watching, which in this case would be the Cubs and Padres, because the Brewers are going to play one or the other starting Saturday in the National League Division Series. Jimmy, I know between your football coaching, your radio work and everything, you probably weren't able to just actually sit down and watch one of four baseball games yesterday.
No, I wasn't, but you know, the Cubs and Padres series is fascinating for somebody who has to organize broadcasts on our network, because it's going to determine pretty much which time slot that the Brewers will play in. If it's the Cubs, you're going to be in much earlier game times than you would if you're the Padres, because they're a West Coast team. So that part of it's fascinating for me. As far as which opponent is preferable, I think the Cubs storylines write themselves. They just played the Padres a couple weeks ago, so that's sort of fresh in your mind. There's a lot of excitement to be had when it comes to baseball postseason. And I think, you know, having the week off helps, because they were kind of the end there, they're getting there. They got to the win record. They were getting there, but they certainly had a much higher peak in the season earlier. You know, the finish wasn't terrible or anything by any means. It just wasn't up to those lofty standards set in the, you know, June, July, August. So I think for anybody in Wisconsin, they're looking forward to baseball postseason and looking forward to, I think, seeing if the Brewers can get a series victory or two or three.
Well, if any team can, it is this one. I mean, we've certainly seen their ability to come back in, you know, late games, their ability to have the big innings. I mean, no team comes close to the number of innings of four or more runs that the Brewers have had. So if we can just get them to unload those bats from time to time, I think that we'll be in great shape that way. And yeah, your point about the time zones is extremely well taken, because we may end up with, I believe it's 8 p.m. Central time is when the late games are starting. I hope it's not 9 p.m. I'll double check that, but that would be brutal if that's what the schedule would be for, say, next Monday, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you almost want the Cubs just for the time zones, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, your point about the scoring is taken too, pretty well taken too, because, you know, three of the four games yesterday were very low scoring, you know, 3-1, 3-1, 2-1, and then 10-5 in the night game. So, you know, having the ability to create some instant offense is going to help. But, you know, what you would expect to be series where you're going to see a lot more of the top pitching than you would during the regular season.
Oh, without a doubt. And for folks wondering, well, what do you mean 3-1, 2-1, 3? Yeah. Here's some sports scores. 3-1, 2-1, 3-1. Let's tell you who the teams are. So the Cubs beat the Padres 3-1. Detroit beat Cleveland 2-1. Boston defeated the Yankees 3-1. And then the Dodgers beat up on Cincinnati. Final score there was 10-5. And all four of these games will head into game two this afternoon, same times for all of them. And again, if Chicago, Detroit, Boston, and the Dodgers all win today, any of them who win today will win the series. But if it's San Diego, Cleveland, the Yankees, or Cincinnati, then in those series, there will be a deciding third game on Thursday, which is, I guess, really what we should be cheering for at this point, Jimmy, is, you know, San Diego today, and then who cares on Thursday, because they'll have to do a third game and wear out their bullpens a little bit more.
That was a great Mike Clemens impersonation you just did. I'm that's pretty great, Todd. You I'm gonna tell Mike to look out. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, I think, yeah, you'd be rooting for somebody, you know, rooting for those teams to go through some more pitching before playing Saturday. The Brewers would play Saturday and then Monday. So we know the dates for the Brewers. We just don't know the times or opponents yet, but we do know the dates at least. We know the Brewers will be back to work on Saturday. It was kind of a neat visual they posted showing on social media yesterday. They're going through practice, and up on the big screen, what do you know? They've got the Cubs and Padres game going as they're going through practice yesterday. Nice. So I thought that was pretty cool.
We have one bold sports prediction on YouTube. Tony puts the Cleve in three. We have one diehard Cleveland Guardians fan amongst the listenership, and Tony's always going to let you know. It's nice. Kind of like Bucks in six, but for him, it's Cleveland in three. So then we've got the Badger football team had the week off. They are back at it at Michigan. I don't know how else to describe this, but a gauntlet, you know, that they've got to run throughout the month of October here. But you can hear coverage starting at 9 a.m. Saturday on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Rapids, and Ripon. And again, are we just looking for the Badgers to be competitive, that they're willing to show Coach Fickell how hard they can push, you know, some of these highly ranked teams?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at this, you're thinking if they can steal a win or maybe even a couple out of this, to be pretty much exceeding expectations at that point. I know a lot of people are looking for coaching changes, but you think of the buyout situation and things like mm-hmm. that. Just don't see a frugal operation like the Badgers deciding to eat an eight-figure deal with a head coach. So I think for better or worse, you know, unless things go completely off the rails, this is what you get for now. And you just hope that they can come out here and steal one of these games against these top teams. Having Ohio State and Oregon and all these, this is a brutal stretch, as you said, a gauntlet for them.
It really is. But you know what else is brutal? Kids. Kids can be brutal. Tell them, you with the really nice radio voice, tell what happened to your football team when your voice accidentally cracked while talking to the team a few days ago.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So if that happens, you know, and you hear me now and you're thinking, okay, how did that ever happen? Well, you know, you do enough radio and it's dry enough and you're telling people enough. You're going through a drill and all of a sudden the voice cracks. Relentless. The entire practice of people mocking me.
Which is funny for people who themselves have been going through puberty. and adolescence. Nobody in that group should be picking on people for your voice cracking, but hey.
Oh, man. Teenage boys, man. It's just...
They're the worst.
What it is.
They're the worst. Jimmy Cuska, always love the golden tones. Thank you so much for the visit. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram right after the news, and then a big announcement about the 7th Congressional District up north. Here, up north, details along the way on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's the fault of congressional Democrats.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's just not true.
Federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants. Period. Full stop. That's the law. And Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He says Democrats are holding out for health care subsidies that will go to millions of U.S. citizens. Walmart today says it plans to remove synthetic food dyes from its store brands by January 2027. 69 people killed in a strong earthquake in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
14.